Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Okay, why don't you welcome, with a meeting place, welcome Londa Harwell. You know, there's always, you know, you try to introduce someone like Londa, and the only thing I can tell you at the deepest possible level is that she loves Jesus with her whole heart, and she's running that direction, not just her heart, but her mind, soul, and strength, and her sole purpose is to stir us in the same direction, and so, which is awesome. Lord, we just bless Londa tonight. Would you just flow through her in the Word tonight? Just open our ears and open our eyes. God, we're asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And so just flow through Londa tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good evening. I just was blown away by the worship songs that Michael had chosen, because he had no clue what I was going to speak on tonight. And I had no clue what he was going to sing about tonight, but the spiritual warfare or the inner healing. Last month, we talked about physical healing. We kind of did healing 101 and how to pray for the sick. And this I just really felt like tonight that we need also to learn how to pray for inner healing, for spiritual healing, that kind of thing. A lot of us struggle, especially like in the face of all the rumors of wars, what happened in Atlanta, what happened with all the school shootings and the threat over the Elkhart schools. I understand about 50% of the kids didn't show up. That's a lot of fear, you know, and I'm not knocking that. I'm not criticizing that. The enemy's trying to stir fear in this country, and because we've walked in a lot of confidence as Americans for a long time, and the enemy's trying to shake that, trying to bring us into a place of fear. And when we come into that place of fear, we start walking in fear. It empowers him. What you're focused on, what you're gazing on, is what you're empowering, right? So we need to learn how to shift our gaze and learn how to stand in victory and stand in peace in the middle of the storm. And every one of us has a storm, not only out in the world, the greater world, and it gets, if you start looking, you know, North Korea is all fired up, and there's Afghanistan and Iraq, and all that is going on. And then if you keep looking, it gets closer to home with the bombings and the school shootings and now Elkhart, and a lot of suicides are going on right now. Those kinds of things are stirring closer and closer to home. And I had a vision, it was last year, I think it was last year, and I saw me on a big clock, and I was riding the pendulum of the clock, and as it swung, I wasn't sure what I was on at first, and I climbed up the pendulum and got to where the hands come, and it was only the hands, the pendulum, and the numbers were out in the sky. It was like in space, and so there wasn't any other part of the clock. They were just all hung out there. And I was sitting, I crawled up and I sat on the bar that was holding the arms of the clock. And I was just looking out and enjoying the beauty of the stars and planets. And all of a sudden this big reel, movie reel, old-fashioned movie reel came and unrolled, started unrolling in front of me. And I thought I was going to get to watch a movie. And I realized as I was looking at it that each frame in the film was a movie within itself. And so there was a movie going on in each frame, and it was a separate individual scene that was being enacted, and it was throughout history and into the future. So I saw, like, Moses parting the Red Sea and just all kinds of things happening in each one of the frames, and got to our time, and then it got into the future, more the end times. And as it did that, I noticed that the film, the movie frame got darker and darker and darker. And down towards the end, it was like, God, where's the light? Where's your light? You know, what's happened to the light? And, because dark is really dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave or underground where they've turned out all the lights, you know, and dark is dark, and it grips you. That's the way the movie was at the end, and I'm like, God, where's your light? And I saw his hands come down, and he grabbed the film, and he started pulling it apart. And so there was two pieces to it, and as he did that, there became a separation between the darkness and the light. And he's like, you have to focus on my light. It's never gone. It didn't go anywhere. You have to focus on my light, and you're the light. Each one of you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're the light. You have to shine, because Jesus has given you his glory. He says that in John 17:20. And Father, I have given them the glory that you've given me, and you're meant to shine with his glory. You're to be the manifest presence of the glory of God. You're to heal the, almost said heal the dead, but that would be right. Heal the sick and raise the dead. You know, you're to cast out demons. You're to speak life into people. You're to set the oppressed free. You're to feed the hungry. We're to be that light. We need to shine. We need to shine because we're it. You know, without us shining for Jesus, the world's going to be a very dark place. And when that darkness comes, you need not fear it. I don't care how close to home it gets. You don't fear the enemy. He needs to fear you. Because of Jesus in you, you need to be at peace. You need to know who you are and not be afraid to let your light shine. You know, never back down to the schemes of the enemy. You just, he'd love for you to do that. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about fear and discouragement. That's two big things that are like oppressing us right now. Fear and discouragement. When fear rises up and it keeps rising up time after time after time, we start to get discouraged. Or it can work the other way. You're praying for things and things don't happen, and you're not seeing progress, and you're not getting the victory that you want, and after a while discouragement comes, and then fear rises up. Fear that you're never going to, it starts to feel hopeless. Fear that you're never going to have that breakthrough. Fear that all those words that have been spoken over you are not, you know, they were for somebody else, not you. Or fear that God's forgotten you. Fear that he's withdrawn, like Dave was talking, like he's withdrawn from you. All these things start going on in our minds, and the more we think about those things and entertain those kinds of thoughts, the more we're opening the door for more of that. We tend to focus on what we don't see. Excuse me. The enemy tries to bring us down emotionally. If he can bring us down emotionally, then he's going to get us down spiritually. He wants to incapacitate you. He does not want you to know who you are. He doesn't want you to know the power that you carry over him. He doesn't want you to know that you victory is yours because of what Jesus has done. He doesn't want you to walk in that for sure. He doesn't want to fear you. So we need to know who we are. We need to know how to pray, how to approach the Lord so that we can hear for ourselves. We need to learn how to hear for ourselves for healing, for emotional and spiritual healing. We need to understand the way in which we can approach the Lord and allow his voice to speak into us. I want to read you a scripture from 2 Corinthians 4:16, New American Standard that he has up, but I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified. Therefore, and this is Paul talking, and he's talking about him and the other disciples and the struggles that they've gone through. But this can be it, all of us. We're all in those struggles. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. And the Amplified puts discouraged. It defines it as utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. That's a great description of discouragement. Utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. We do not become discouraged. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. We need to learn how to renew, let Jesus renew our inner self. It's not difficult. Once you learn a basic pattern of setting yourself before him and then learning how to receive from him. And that's what I kind of like to take you through tonight. There's the Bible talks a lot about mind renewal, inner strengthening of your spirit man, getting rid of lies, getting rid of deception, coming and standing in truth, knowing the truth, all those things. We can talk about them all day long, but until you learn how to embrace them, how to let Jesus speak into the lies that we believe, it's hard to get past them. We want the victory over them, and we're like begging for it, but we don't know how to set ourselves up to hear from the Lord. And so that's what I want to help you do tonight, is learn how to set yourself before him in such a way that you can actually hear and receive truth. I take every negative thought. You know, I'm pretty aggressive. And even that, tell you the truth, gets a little wearisome sometimes, that I'm such a mess, you know. I've got so many negative thoughts. I'm no different than you, but I stay after it, and those negative thoughts get less and less, and peace grows and grows. And now I've been doing it, this is 2013, I've been doing it 11 years now, and I walk in a lot of peace. I haven't arrived, not perfect, but I'm sure a lot farther than I was 11 years ago. And that's for every one of you can do that. Every one of you. Because Jesus paid for the victory. It's already been done in the spirit. So your emotional self needs to come into agreement with it. Every one of us have been told lies from the time that we're birthed on. And the enemy's right there to reinforce those lies and to pour him on, and we tend to listen to him because he's loud and noisy. The Holy Spirit tends to be quiet and soft, and that loud and noisy voice and the circumstances that are going on at the time tend to get our attention. But God, you know, is good, and he's right there to give you truth to every one of those lies. Everyone, you don't have to entertain a negative thought about yourself. You don't. And when you get truth about who you are, you begin to see others for who they are, the way Jesus sees them. And you begin to have compassion and patience and all those things that come along with walking with your eyes wide open instead of your spirit eyes, instead of them clouded with darkness. Because that's what we're talking about here, the difference between light and dark. Jesus, the truth of the word is light, and the lies of the enemy are darkness. And darkness clouds our vision. We act and react out of what we believe about us and about others. So all of our, when anger rises up or depression comes on you or whatever it is, fear, it's because there's something you believe that's not lining up with Jesus. So those are the things we want to go after. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Sounds a little harsh, but it works. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which is characterized by your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. That's all the lies the enemy's put in you. Decay. And be constantly, 23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Everything looks different. When you're looking through eyes of truth, everything looks different. Sky's even brighter. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, how do you do that? I want to go to the next scripture, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The way we do it is by listening to the voice of God. You listen to his voice. His voice has power, has authority, and it. When you surrender the lie, it has the power. When you listen to the truth, it makes an exchange. It's a supernatural exchange. It's just as miraculous as when you see a physical healing. It's a miracle in and of itself. It's just as miraculous. It's amazing. Where you once would feel anxiety or fear rising up, and the Lord comes in and speaks to you about that, immediately peace. Where you've tried all your life to get to that place, and he does it in a second. I used to be full of fear. I didn't like bridges, elevators, tall buildings. I sure so would not be up here speaking. I just had fear of man all over me. I walked in constant fear. The Lord is so working that out of me to where, you know, you can work and have a demon manifest in front of you and just like be, you know, and deal with it rather than where before I'd have been terrified of that. I'm not sure what I was afraid of, but I was. I just had never been exposed to it before, and I thought they were all somewhere else but here. You know, and so when you start doing inner healing, I've been working with inner healing now for 10 years, and I have about 4,000 hours now doing inner healing with people, and you see all kinds of demonic manifestations, and I'm just so not impressed by it anymore. It's like, really? You know, Jesus, come and, you know, deal with this, and he does, and it's gone. You know, it's great. So that fear, we need to walk in that place of peace. It's so how do we get there? It's the voice of God. We have to understand the power, the redemptive power of the voice of God. When you get that, when you believe it, You empower him to speak to you. When you understand that his very voice has power for you, has power to change a lie for a truth. It's amazing. This scripture says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So when the Lord speaks, his voice goes out, and it will accomplish what he sent it to do. We just have to give it place. We have to give it place. So how do we do that? When you have something like feeling of unworthy, has anybody ever felt that before? That was a huge one for me, huge unworthy. I felt it all my life. The Lord has had to do a mind transplant for me to get up here and be able to do this, to be in leadership over the healing ministry. That I've talked to you before about that is just like a mind, like a total different mind, because it was so wasn't in me. You have no idea. So this feeling of being unworthy was something that I have always had always felt. So what you do with that? So let's just, everybody that has ever felt that, raise your hand. Okay, that pretty much just about everybody. If you're, yeah. So I want you to, so what we do is you feel it, let yourself feel it. So I want you to close your eyes and just get yourself into a place of being willing to surrender to the Lord right now and trust him. How we hear from the Lord is different for each of us. You might hear in your mind, it'll sound like your voice, but it's going to have authority with it. And when he speaks, you're going to know it, because that unworthy feeling is going to change. He might just make it feel better, just lift it off of you. He might give you a perspective. He might give you a picture. However he does it, choose to let him do it. Submit to it, okay? So everybody, let yourself feel that unworthy feeling. What does that say to you about you? What do you believe about you? When you feel that feeling, you've felt it most of your life, and the belief will be something like, says to you about you that you're no good, or you're not good enough, or you'll never amount to anything, or those kinds of things. It's going to be a belief statement about you. I want you to find that belief statement. When you find it, keep your eyes closed, but raise your hand. When you find it, then the next thing you say is, "Jesus, what do you want me to know about this? I believe that I am," whatever it is you believe. Just invite him. "Lord Jesus, I just invite your presence right now. What do you want them to know?" What do you want them to know, Lord? What are you saying? Huh? How many of you have received a truth from the Lord? Just raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Okay, so when you felt that, would one of you be willing to just come up here and let me kind of quiz you a little bit? I won't get personal. We won't get into the personal part of it. Okay. Awesome. So when you've heard the Lord give you truth to what you were feeling, does it feel the same as it did before?
No, not really.
How does it feel to you now?
Kind of like a hopeful kind of feeling.
So does it still feel true to you that you're unworthy?
Not as much, no. There's definitely something happening.
Awesome. That's what should happen. There, you'll change it. And it no longer resonates within you that you're unworthy. There'll be a peace that you can't explain. Thank you. Did anybody else get that kind of peace? Something happen? Okay, now you're all scared to raise your hand because I'm going to call you up, you think. I won't. But that's what you do. You find what you're feeling, and it's something you've felt most of your life. How did that feeling, what's the belief statement that you have about you? And that's what you offer up to the Lord. I believe that I am... I'm whatever. I had a list of them. But with fear, you know, fear of man, I believe that I'm going to make a fool of myself or whatever it is, you know. It's going to be something that when you say it to yourself, I believe I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to be loved, or I'm not good enough. I don't have any value. When you say those things, it's going to resonate with you as true. And that's what you need to take to the Lord. Say, I believe this, and what do you say? And don't put any expectations on what, because you all know the truth. So that's where it's hard, because you know that it's not true, but it feels true. And so you have to let him have the feeling and trust him for the answer. Because he may even tell you something as simple as, that's not what I say, or I love you, or something like that. But it changes the whole thing. So don't put any expectations on what he's going to say, because you know a lot of truth. And if you tell yourself truth, you've been doing that for a long time. And it sort of just doesn't go anywhere. That feeling is still there. And so you're always battling this feeling. But the voice of God, even if he says the same thing you were going to say, when you release yourself to hearing it, it changes the whole dynamic. It breaks the power of the lie. Does that make sense? The lie no longer has power. It diffuses it. In Luke 10, 18 through 20, and he said to them, behold, I'm putting the behold in there. I saw Satan fall like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. That's physical and mental strength and ability. Over all the power that the enemy possesses, nothing in any way shall harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. Jesus has given us all power and authority over the enemy. You have to know it. That doesn't mean you go and challenge the enemy. It means you fight wisely. The Bible tells us how to fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, talks about the armor. You need to understand, read through that. And know that you can't just pray that on you. It's something you have to live. You have to be in the Word. You have to be saved. You have to have the helmet of salvation. You have to do those things. You have to live them and be them. Another good scripture for knowing how to fight is Psalm 91. Talks about if you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, all this protection happens. So when you pray as someone that has all the power and authority over the demonic, you need to set the captives free. You need to pray over people that are being oppressed. We need to pray over people that have depression or physical illnesses are oppression, emotional, spiritual oppression. When you have somebody that has any brave soul ever been cursed, like had a lot of negative words spoken over you from the time you were little, just lots of negative words. I'm going to call you up again. I'll get you later. I'm going to call you up again. Can you feel that oppression? Can you feel those that cursing that's been spoken over you?
Not anymore.
Okay.
When I was younger, I've been working through some stuff lately.
Yeah. So he's been working through it. But I'm going to demonstrate how you would pray over that. When people are speaking negative, there's power in your voice, in your words, because everyone is created in the image of God. And whether or not they stand and walk in that image is, depending on who they serve, but the voice of even humans have power. We have the power to give life or to give death in our words. And so when you have a parent or a teacher or a sibling or friends, when you have a lot of cursing, like you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, I don't love you, those kinds of things, negative words spoken over a person doesn't take a long time, and that starts to wear that person down. They begin to believe it. They begin to believe those words, and that they carry the oppression from that. You have the amazing power to go up to them and pray over them and break that off of them. Break the power of those lies off of them. Break that oppression. It's because Jesus, it's Colossians 2, where Jesus... every decree and judgment that the enemies ever held over us was nailed to the cross. So it's already done. It's just that when it's spoken over us, especially as children, we tend to believe it. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're little. And everybody speaking it is big. And so they're the authority. So you have this voice of authority speaking over you, and it changes and makes you feel like, oh, I thought I was this, but they're saying I'm this. And it sounds true after a while, and then you believe it, and you begin to walk and carry yourself that way. So it's okay if I demonstrate that on you. So what I would do if what's your name?
Eric.
If Eric came up to me and I discerned just by talking to him how he was feeling, when people start saying things like, I feel like I'm no good. I've had people tell me that all my life, that I'm no good. I'm never going to amount to anything, that I'm ugly or whatever. Those kinds of things. Those are the things you need to break off. You just need to break, because the enemy puts assignments to those things. Once a person starts to believe it, the enemy has an assignment against it. He has a legal right there to oppress them because they've accepted it. Does that make sense? So you're going to break the right. They're going to come into agreement with you, and you're going to break that legal agreement and command the assignments to go. So this is the way I do it. I'm not so not professionally taught, but I'm Holy Spirit taught, and he's a professional. So I take his word at it. So, Eric, would you just come into agreement with me? I'd just like to pray over you and break those word curses spoken over you, whether they're intended or not. Would that be all right? So, Father, I just lift up Eric to you, God, and I just thank you for the mighty man of God that he is. I thank you that you have great designs and purposes for him and that your love for him is perfect. I thank you, Jesus, for the victory already won on the cross. So I take authority right now over every word curse spoken over you, whether it was intended or unintended. And I cancel those assignments now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I command every one of those demonic attachments to go now in Jesus' name. I just release you from every negative thing ever spoken over you, over your identity, over your value, your worth, over your future. I break them off of you in Jesus' name. I speak life. I declare life over you. I declare the joy of the Lord over you. And just a refreshing, God, I ask you, refresh his spirit right now and just wash him with the blood of Jesus. God, help him to know that you are faithful, that your love for him is perfect, and that he's good enough. That you love him just like he is. So I bless you. I speak blessing. Where there's been cursing, I bless. I bless you in every way, in every part of you, that all that you are and ever hope to be is in the hands of Christ Jesus, who loves you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. So, God is good. And I have people over and over and over tell me, I just lifted a big burden off of me. When you have somebody that feels burdened, go up and break those burdens off of them. Just say, I take authority over the burden spoken over you, and I break that off of you now in Jesus' name. And I command it to go, and brush it off if you want to. I don't care. You know, get like excited about what God's given you the authority to do. It's, you know, practice it. Practice makes perfect, right? So practice it. Practice on each other. Just start moving. Don't be afraid to go after those things. I often, another thing is people feel weary. I get that a lot because of the physical. I'm going to get in trouble. The physical stuff that I feel, I get weary. And I'm frequently before the Lord. And that's all I say. God, I feel weary. I just feel weary. What do you want me to know? And weary goes, and I'm up here speaking. You know, so it's like the enemy has no authority over you. You just have to know it. The last verse I want to give you is 1 Corinthians 2:2, where he says, for I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about Jesus. The more you press into Jesus, the more you're going to stand in who you know you are, who he says you are, who he's created you to be, and who he's empowered you to be. So I want to invite the worship team up. And I'd like you all to stand. I'm going to give the mic to Dave, and I'd like you guys to think about coming up. Last month, we had a lot of healing happen. I want to hear some testimonies, and then we're going to have a time of just a couple testimonies, and we're going to have a time of worship. And during the worship, I just want you to come forward. I'm going to invite the healing team up and have you start just praying for each other and for... If you want to come forward and be prayed for, come forward. If you want to have just whoever's close to you pray for you, do that. Just raise your hand, okay?
Okay, is there anybody that wants to share what Jesus has done in their hearts, their bodies, their souls? If so, just feel free to come forward. Is there anybody that's brave enough to share what God has done in your life? While I'm waiting for somebody, I want to share something that God did for me that has the theme of tonight and what Londa has talked about. I had I grew up in Canada, and hockey is a tradition up in Canada. And for some reason, my dad never put me in organized hockey. And I always think back, and I always wondered why not. And I had a second cousin I grew up with and went to church with that actually made the NHL. He actually played for the Blackhawks in this area here. And when I started playing in rec leagues in Canada, I played with him one time and a couple of times. And he told me, he said, "Man, why didn't you ever play hockey? You could have gone somewhere." And I always had this deep longing inside of me where I thought, man, God, why didn't it happen? Like, I would have loved to have done that. And I had this ache inside of me. And it was pretty powerful. Some of you have that kind of ache about things that you haven't done or regret or things of that nature. And one night I just asked the Lord in my little prayer room in my house, and I was just crying out to him. And I said, I cannot live with this type of regret, because I always thought I missed something that I could have done in God in sports. And I just asked the Lord, what's your truth to this? What do you want to say about this? It wasn't, I don't know how the lie was even attached, but the point was, is I suddenly got a picture. And the picture was I can still see it right now. It was of a wrecked car. And that car was smashed, and I knew that was my car, and I knew that it was smashed because of alcohol. And in college, I actually, you know, would have been probably considered an alcoholic when I went away from home, and you know, I grew up a pastor's son, and when I saw that car, the Lord just spoke to me, and He said, "This would have been your future if you would have taken that path." And it was a powerful truth for me, because the regret, of course, left. And He essentially said, I've called you into another dimension and into the areas of ministry. And so that's how powerful one word from God. I haven't even had one regret since then about not playing hockey. I mean, I was able to enjoy it without this deep longing for a different life kind of a deal. So, okay, Anna, come on up. I'm just going to have her share, and then we're going to get into ministry. What did God... Okay. Just share one.
Well, I had a bump. There was a bump trying to come here. It was, like, starting to grow. I could feel it, and I prayed over it, and it disappeared.
When? Tonight? Recently?
Yeah, yesterday or so, I could feel a bump going under there, and I just prayed and went away.
Disappeared. So that would typically be an infection that just disappeared. Okay, is there anybody else quickly that wants to come share? All right. Let's just go into a time of healing then. I'm going to give the mic back to Londa. One thing I saw tonight praying for people is I actually saw somebody's throat. And I don't know if that's a sore throat or if somebody's having problems with pain, or it's constricted in your throat area, or trouble breathing or something like that. I'm not entirely sure what it was, but if that's you right now, come forward. I'd like to pray for you quick. And I'm just going to give it back to Londa.
It could have been me. I was earlier had a throat. With some of the physical stuff that I deal with, I get tired, and then I start getting, like, sore throat or whatever, and the healing team prayed for me, and I don't have it, so it's awesome. Right, just start coming forward. We're gonna have the team come up, and have you start praying. Beth and Dina, you guys want to come up here? Whoever would like prayer.